Thank you, thank you. Please be seated. Let me just say to all of you, you worshiped. Will you preach with me now?
Yes.
Will you do the same here? Let me ask you, will you preach with me this morning? If you do, this is a much better time. And if you're watching online, preach with me too. This is the beginning of the great revival of 2024. This may be the last revival before Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be wonderful? My goodness, my goodness. Well, Dr. Minnick said, you're going to preach. And I thought, well, I turn this over to you. I give him this week and say, you're the pastor. You're leading this. And so he kind of, well, I'm glad to do it. Now, tonight, my dear brother Hunter Lundy's going to bring a word. And I've got a glimpse of that. And you don't want to miss that. And he's here with us. And you saw the brochure and all the pictures. Tomorrow night, Pastor Bruce Haynes will be here, and Tommy France is coming, and tomorrow night, Pastor Dwight Jones from St. Louis area is coming, and Allison and Brian will be here tonight and tomorrow, and then, my goodness, we're just going to have a time, aren't we? Praise God. I think Tim Gregg's going to come from the Presley family. He's kind of a son in the faith of mine, and he's going to be here with us and a bunch of folks, but we're going to have a time. Amen. Go to Joshua chapter 6 with me in the NIV. And let me tell you what the Lord's put on my heart for this morning. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites, and no one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Let me tell you a little bit about Jericho, and let me give you some history in regard to Jericho. We've heard of it. We've heard of the walls of Jericho. Maybe you haven't. I don't anymore believe that people just automatically know the Bible. In fact, I met a very wonderful man last week. He came to the altar, and I believe gave his heart to Christ, that had never been in church in his life, and he was here. So I don't take that for granted. You may be watching online and not know the Word of God, but there's a story in the Bible that's a true event called the City of Jericho. And what it was a city, a fortified city, one of 10 fortified cities in the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan was a promise given to the Israelites when they left Egypt. They left Egypt about 40 years when this occurred that I'm going to tell you about this morning. They had stumbled around and traveled in the middle of a big circle in the desert, in the wilderness, getting their act together. Have you ever had to get your act together in here? Say amen if you have. And the rest of you are tongue-tied. All of us have to get our act together sometime, don't we? And the only way I know to get our act together is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But he can put us together, and they had come to this point now on the far side of Jordan, and they were getting ready to go across, and God had taken Moses, and he'd followed his plan. Now he put Joshua in, and what a perfect name, Joshua, Yeshua, the deliverer, the same name as we see as Jesus, one who's coming to deliver, one who's coming to set free. And he's taken Joshua and put him into a place of leadership. And he's told Joshua in the first few verses or chapters of the book of Joshua, you're going to be led, I'm going to anoint you, the people are going to know you're the leader, and you're going to go in my power. In fact, Jesus came in the Old Testament in a thing as we know as a Christophany. He came in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus didn't come at Bethlehem. Somebody say amen. He is, he always was, and always will be. In John chapter 1, he's referred to as the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? So prior to that name, Yeshua or Jesus that we have, he was the Word and is the Word, continues to be the Word. And Joshua walked up to this magnificent warrior standing there, and it was and he told who he was. And Joshua said, are you for us or against us? And Jesus, in that Old Testament setting, said this, I'm the commander of the host of the army of God. There's only one of those, amen? Can you say amen? Would you say amen with me once in a while? I really like it when you do. Say amen. Amen. He said to him, are you for us or against us? He said, I'm not either one. He said, I've got some news for you. He said, what? Joshua, listen to me. I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I'm not an independent or a socialist or a communist. I am God alone, and beside me there is none other. And the question isn't, am I for you, is are you with me? And that's how we're going into this entire revival. We're with him, amen? Somebody asked me who I came with. I came with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he commissioned Joshua. He gave him a strong commission. Go, and several times, don't be afraid. He repeated himself many times. Don't fear, don't doubt, but follow me because I have commissioned you into the promise. And I'm telling you, this week, this entire week, Wednesday, five pastors, me included, sat in a circle right here all afternoon. And we prayed over this meeting this morning and tonight and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We took anointing oil and we anointed this entire place and we fasted Thursday. We've been preparing and getting ready to go into the promise. The promise, when we follow God, takes preparation, but not ours. We need to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, amen? And in doing that, we know there's a guarantee. He tells Joshua, you lead them in. And then he tells them this, we're going to cross Jordan. There's going to be a great miracle there because it was flood season. Now, I've been in the Jordan River. Ruth tried to drink it while she was there. That's another great story I'll tell you sometime. That's where you laugh right there. That was a joke. And then I've seen it at the Calm Place, this beautiful emerald green water about up to here. I've baptized people in the Jordan. I've been baptized in the Jordan. But this was flood stage. This is where it's a half mile wide of nothing but muddy silt coming down in a torrent. And it's impossible to cross. But God stopped it. He split Jordan just like he did the Red Sea. And caused the children of Israel under a new covenant called the covenant of circumcision to walk across dry land, just like he did with Moses, into the promise. And when they got into the promise, he told them, the very first thing you're going to do is conquer the city or the fortress of Jericho. Now, Jericho, let me tell you a little bit about it. Jericho wasn't very big. A lot of people have this massive picture of a huge. It was fortified, and it was the most fortified city of all the Canaanite cities. Nothing compared to it. It had a greater army. It was scarier. It was more defense mechanized and everything than any. But Jericho was only 7 acres. So if you look outside the door when you leave and all that land that we own all the way up to the highway up there, or to the health department, all that land is about that size. It's a little bit, not quite 7 acres. And you can see how small Jericho actually was. It was more of a fortress than it was a large city. But it was so fortified that it put fear in any enemy that would ever come near that. 7 acres, one half mile around the walls of Jericho. And Joshua is listening to the voice of God, and he says this, because it's tightly shut up, then verse 2, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hand along with its king and its fighting men. Jericho was the toughest assignment of all the Canaanite cities, of the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and all the different ites that were there and all the different Canaanites, which was a general name for all those nations. It was the toughest one. And he started Israel out with the hardest fight they would ever have. More than any other defense city, more than any opposition, more than any possibility of failure that could exist was in Jericho. And he tells them, I want you to follow me, and I will show you how to defeat the enemy. Do you think God has a plan to know how to defeat the enemy? I want to tell you something this morning. I brought a message to you from the Holy Spirit of God this morning that's going to tell you individually, not corporately, it's going to tell you individually how you defeat the enemy, how you come to a place of power in God and freedom in God. Because if I can get you free through the Word of God flowing through me this morning, we're going to have unity in this house, and this week is going to be unified. And if there's anything on this earth Satan cannot handle, is unity. But I believe in the power of unity in the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I want you to raise your hands right now and say with me right now in your own words, any way you want to, God, unify this week. Unify this house. Say it out loud, church. Tell him. God, unify this week in word, in song, in preaching. God, in every way, in Jesus' name. So he tells Joshua this promise. This is verse 2. This is the Lord. Look at that. That's Elohim, L-O-R-D. That is the highest name that God goes by. Yahweh, we hear Elohim. The Almighty Multi-Personality God, when you see those capitals. So he got a word directly from the boss that I've got everything taken care of. March around the city, verse 3, once with all the armed men. Now, if you go to Numbers chapter 26, I believe, verse 51, you'll find that the number of armed people in that nation of Israel was 600,000 men. He had an army of 600,000. Many times we think about the Israelites going through the desert and all the different things as we got a couple million people there, but we don't understand that it was organized, it was armed. In that 40 years, there was a cleansing that took place. There was a washing that took place, and what resulted is an army of 600,000 men. And the Word of God says this. He said, march around the city once with all the armed men. That's a half mile circle. So it must have looked like a serpentine going in and around as they marched. And those people in Jericho figured something was going on. Listen to me. Don't get too high of opinion of the devil. The devil knows something's going on. You hear me? And the devil also sees that he's outnumbered. And the devil understands that his greatest fortresses are no fortress for God. This ain't his first come to town meeting. Satan has been defeated in every form and fashion from his fall in heaven to this day. And he understands that when he goes against God, that he's going to be defeated. He just can't help himself. But there's going to be some defeats happening this week in individuals' lives and in this house. And he once again is going to see that he's lost and Jesus has won. And it's going to be through the power of the Word of God. There's nothing like the power of the Word of God. There's nothing more penetrating. There's nothing more comforting. There's nothing more sure and absolute than the Word of God in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. And when you hear, he says, and here's this what he says in verse 4. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. These are shofars. These are ram's horns. He said, seven priests, seven. In fact, in this one chapter, he uses the term seven 14 times. Don't read them. Don't look for them. Go home and do it later. Take my word. In this chapter, 14 times, he talks about the power of seven. Seven stands for completion. It stands for the fulfillment of God. It stands for the perfection of God. And he said, take seven priests and give them seven shofars. And have them come, and I'll tell you what he said, and the ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. So he's giving him specific directions. Now this, he isn't saying how he's going to destroy the enemy. He's not saying how he's going to defeat Jericho. He's just saying, trust me. Do you know that's what you have to learn to do? When God tells you to do something that doesn't make sense to you, wow, man, I'm telling you, he's past my intellect. Yes, he far surpasses. He's got a plan way ahead of me. And if I can just yield to him and do what he says to do, the outcome will be far better than anything I can come up with. It didn't look like much. He put armed men in front. After the army had walked around the wall, Now 600,000, and the people inside Jericho were quaking because they understood the numbers. They saw the camps just right down the road from them camped out, and they shut everything down. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were trusting in their own fortification to keep everything okay. They thought the Israelites would finally go away, and all they're doing is a friendly protest. They're walking around. After those armed men went, then a group of warriors stood in front, and they started to march. A smaller group, then a group of the seven priests with seven shofars began to march. And the Ark of the Covenant, the promise, everything was in that Ark. The promise of God. Do you believe in the promises of God today? Do you understand there's no devil in hell that can break the promises of God? We have to pick them up and put them on our shoulders and carry them as holy and precious and unchanging. And for us, that covenant was given to Israel. We have a new covenant I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. But we have a promise from God that's precious and holy and unchanging and unchallengeable. But we have to lift up the banner of an almighty God and say, these are my promises from my God, and they can't be refuted. Here comes a few of the armed guards. Here comes seven priests with seven shofars. Here comes some more of the armed guards behind them. And he said, I want you to go down there every day. Get up every morning with that troop of people. And I want you to keep your mouth shut. Still intact today. Keep your mouth shut and listen to the Holy Spirit. I've had God tell me a few times, I want you to do something. And the last thing he told me was this. Son, I want you to do something. I said, anything you say, Father. He says, lose your opinion. I'm going to let that settle just a minute. Lose your opinion. Because your opinion's based on your knowledge and your understanding. And I'm higher than that. Your opinion is based on what you see, not what I see. Your opinion's based on the facts as you know them, not as I know them. Lose your opinion, and I have done my best. I'm trying my best to lose my opinion and trust the Word of God. Unchallengeable Word of God. He said, I want you, everyone that walks around that city the first day, 600,000 men, keep your mouth shut. And in the morning, on the first day, I want you to go down there and do it again. Walk around. So let me just read, not get ahead of myself. So when you hear, he says this, have seven priests carrying seven ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests following the trumpets. Verse 5, when you hear the sound of a long blast, when you're in messianic worship, when you're in a messianic praise service, the shofar sounds, and it's on the end. There's a high note on the end of it. And it says, when you hear that, listen for the sound. When you hear the sound, a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Now, this wasn't the first day. This is the seventh day. And he said, just do what I say, the way I say, and I'll do the rest. It's good work for us today. Then all, listen to this. He said this, then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in. This is unbelievable. This wall was high enough that couldn't be scaled. History tells us it was wide enough that a tractor trailer could drive around the top of that wall and hold its weight. So this wasn't some little wall. This was an impenetrable wall. But he said, this wall is going to fall. I'm telling you this morning that you all have walls, and God sent me here to tell you this. You've got some walls that you think are impenetrable. You've got some walls that you think are just too big for God, or circumstances, or you've learned to be comfortable with it. There was a man laying at the pool of Bethesda one time, and Jesus walked up to him. He said, how long you been here? He knew, 38 years. Why? Because nobody can get me down to that pool when the angels are troubling the water. Because ever who gets in that water first is going to get a healing. And what happened to that man? He came very comfortable with his circumstance. Listen to me, child of God. Don't get comfortable with your circumstance, because God is here and he is individually going to come to you and ask you a couple questions this week. He said, no man can take me. Jesus said, well, I'm here now. Pick up your bedroll and walk. And after 38 years of watching everybody else get a blessing, 38 years of going, oh, I was so blessed in the house, but I watched as a spectator. He said to that man, let's be a participator. And this week, you're going to be a participator in the move of God, because the water is troubled in this house. Amen? And Jesus is here. When you hear that long blast, have all the people give a shout. On the seventh day, the walls will clap. Verse 6. So Joshua the son of Nun, the priest, called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people in advance. Listen to this. March around the city with armed guards going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. The only thing they heard was a sound of a shofar. And he said, what did he say in the beginning? And what do I tell you to do? Do what?
Read slowly.
He said, when you hear the sound, didn't he? Fourteen of you got it. When I hear the sound, say amen.
Amen.
When you hear the sound, it's not a normal sound. It's not just a horn being blown. This was different. This was a shofar from seven priests under the anointing of the Holy Spirit following the plan of God. He said, when you hear the sound, march. Verse 7, and he ordered the people, march around, advance, march around the city with the armed guards going ahead of the ark of the Lord. Verse 8, when Joshua had spoken to the people, seven priests carrying seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. Not a word was being said, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. They were going with a praise and a promise. My friends, you've got that today. A praise is your part. The promise is God's part. Amen? And it's for somebody, say, that's for me. Listen to me. This isn't, I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm not trying to get you emotionalized. But I can't be in the presence of God without emotionalism. I don't want to be. And I know this. I've been in his presence for many, many years. And I know this, that when I have a praise, he has a promise he gives me. It takes a praise from me to get the promise fulfilled from God. But I'm willing to do that. Are you today? When Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. And the ark of the Lord, Lord's covenant, followed them. The armed guards marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets. At the rear, the armed guards, the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were being sounded. There was a sound. Listen for the sound. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry. Don't add anything. Don't add anything. This is a hallowed time. This is a plan of God. I'm telling you, as much as we want to, even in well-meaning, sometimes we help God too much. Well, I want him to think. I want him to, all you have to be obedience is all God's looking for. Amen? And how he teaches us. He says, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voice. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. Then shout. So we had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to the camp and spent the night there. Well, I did what God said, but I didn't see anything happen. I went to church and I didn't feel a thing. Come back tomorrow night. Keep coming back, because God's got a seven in your life. He's got a time in your life. But it takes us following Him, not Him following us. I don't know if I feel like it. Well, that's fine. But the ones that feel like it are going to see what God does. Make it a point. Determine in your life. Make it a priority that if God said seven times for the nation of Israel, I don't care what it cost me, if it cost me sleep, if it cost me rest, if it cost me missing McNeese play Gonzaga on basketball, Hunter. It's going. That's a little private joke we have there with his college. Whatever it is, whatever it costs me, I'm willing to do what God's asking me to do, because He told me that the walls were going to fall down. But this isn't by absentee vote. I have to be present to see what God's doing. So here He is. They're carrying the ark, and they're blowing the trumpets, and armed men are going ahead. And on the second day, they marched around the city once more, and they returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. I'm sure there were a lot of people saying, hey, man, this is a sixth day. We've been doing this for 6 days, and nothing's happened. We can't speak. We don't have an opinion. All we can do is follow God's command. We're going to walk around. The priests aren't talking. They're not preaching. They're not doing anything holy. They're just sounding the sound of a trumpet. And the Lord told us, I want you to listen for the sound. So He must be tuning my ear to the right sound. Listen to me, folks. If you'll start listening, the Holy Spirit will tune your ear to His voice. And it gets better and more clear and more powerful and more sure. And He walks around on 6 days, nothing's happened. But on the seventh day, would you like to know the title of my message tonight, this morning? Somebody say amen. Amen. It's called The Seventh Day. This is the seventh day. Listen to me. He said on the seventh day, somebody say the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marked. They said, man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. He told us to march 6 days, and on the seventh day, He was going to do this. It wasn't a secret. It wasn't something that just Joshua knew. This was a promise. God doesn't have to muffle or code His promises. He can say them right out loud. If you'll follow me and do what I ask you to do on the right time, I will move, and I'm going to do this and this and this, and you can count on it being done in your life. The Holy Spirit will give you insight. Don't be afraid to listen to the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to what He tells you to take as truth. Take it as truth. Take it as a promise and tuck it in your heart, and then go do what God told you to do. Stay out of it. Let God handle it, and you'll see the result every time. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except for one thing. On that day, they circled the city seven times. What's the enemy? Man, every day they walked around here 6 days. They didn't know the promise. Nothing's happened. They've blown those silly shofars. Nothing's happened. On the seventh day, they go, they must be getting desperate. You see, the enemy reads us wrong. Amen? He said, I guess they're getting desperate. Because they went around once and they're coming around. This is the fourth time they're coming around. They must really be desperate for their God to do something. Apparently, God doesn't hear them. Apparently, God doesn't care. Because this is the fifth time they've been walking around. The sixth time, now they're standing on top of the gates laughing at them. Say, what are you guys going to do? Just circle us till you wear a hole in the wall? Or what are you going to do? Nothing's happened. But on the seventh trip around, on the promise of God, on the exact time that God told them to, The word of God says in verse 16, the seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people and said, now it's time to shout. You kept your mouth shut. You've listened to me, you've followed my way, you've come together in unity, you believe what I've said, you've followed the word to a letter, and my friend, listen to me, the word of God doesn't need any help. It doesn't need an additive. We have additives. I take vitamins that are additives, but God's word doesn't need any vitamins or help. All he needs is the pure word of God and somebody that will listen and somebody that will obey and somebody that will follow God. And when we do, every time, never one time in all of history has God's word ever failed. Can you say amen? Amen. Have you ever been healed by the power of the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Have you ever been healed in your mind, your body, your spirit? Let me see your hand. God is a healer. He's our deliverer. He's our keeper. He's the Joshua of the New Testament. Jesus is far greater. So he tells them on the seventh time, shout. And when they gave that shout, he said to them, everything in this city is devoted to God. He said, every victory I give you is my victory, not yours. It's my doing, not you. I'm defeating the enemy, not giving you a platform of praise for yourself or what you've done, your faith, your trust. It's me and me alone that'll get the glory. And I'm telling you, when we learn to give the glory to God in everything we do, he can do all kinds of things to the enemy. Verse 20, going forward. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted at the sound of the trumpet. Listen to that. When the people gave a loud shout, the most incredible, unbelievable, supernatural, God-like thing happened. This the hardest, most fortified fortress in all of Canaan and all of the enemies. This is their first time out now. It's their first battle. But the toughest battle they could come against. The walls begin to shake and rattle, and the walls didn't fall out. They fell in, and they fell low enough that history tells us, when you study this in Hebrew, they walked on top of the rubble inside, and they found an enemy that was shaking with fear, that dared to try to destroy the nation of Israel, that was inciting other nations to come against Israel. And God went to the core of the problem and destroyed it. And listen to me, when God does something for you this week, he's not going to give you a Band-Aid or a little aspirin to make you feel better. He's going to go to the core of the problem and destroy that. And when that happens, the word gets out that they serve a God that's alive. They serve a God that hears them, and he's a living God, and we're no match. Lord, listen, friends, when you learn what the Lord wants to give you in your life, you find out there's no match for our God and Savior. They destroyed them. This city of only 7 acres, but fortified. It was an incredible, incredible victory. It was regarded, Jericho's regarded as the best defended city in all of Canaan. The most difficult one to conquer. Lord, I want to bring a need to you. I'm going to ask you this week to make the most difficult, find the most difficult need, battle that you have in your life this week. Don't get, Lord, heal this cold. He'll do that. Help me. I want you to bring to the Lord this week, the most difficult obstacle in your life. If you're listening, say amen. If you're watching online, listen to me. Come to church. Be in here. But if you can't, I want you to make the most difficult request of God possible this week. Boy, I'm saving that one. But and listen to this. I don't know if I have enough faith for that. I've got some news for you. You don't. It's not based on your faith, contrary to some teaching. It's based on who he is. There are times where I haven't got the faith to lift my finger. But he said, if you just have enough of a of a mustard seed, almost can't see it. Just enough to call on his name, that's enough.
Amen.
He said, I'll take it from there.
Yes.
I'll do it from that point forward. The city was on high alert because they saw what was going on. They knew the spies had already visited in Jericho. They knew the stories about God being with Israel from the Red Sea forward. The enemy knows all the word. He knows the word. He hears it. He knows the miracles of God. He's seen the miracles in this church. I'm looking at people in this church that aren't supposed to be here. I'm looking at people in this church that were lost on their way to hell, and now they're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and serving Jesus Christ. I'm looking at the most difficult cases that exist on this earth to you, and he said, bring that to me. And I'm asking you this week, don't come to God with a little basket and say, here's some problems. I want you to say, God, this is the number one challenge that I'm, this is my Jericho.
Yeah.
Guide me and direct me. They knew the stories. They knew something about was just about to happen. And the enemy knows that something's on the horizon now. I'm proclaiming this day, in this house, this morning, that the walls of Jericho are falling this week. I do. I believe it's from God. I believe it's anointed by the Holy Ghost. I believe he gave me a message to give you online and in this house. And I want you to be present firsthand on the front row to see the walls in your life fall, the impenetrable, impossible walls to begin to fall. They said, listen for the sound. Listen for the sound. They were listening for a shofar. But let me tell you what you've got this week. They didn't have. They didn't have the shofar. They were listening for the sound of the shofar. Do you hear it? Faintly, but I hear it. There's something this week I want you to understand. And I'm telling you this straight from the throne of God. There's a sound I want you to listen for this week, but it's not the sound of the shofar. That was the Old Testament or the First Covenant. That was the law of Moses that God brought Jesus through to complete and fulfill. But what I want you to listen for now is the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Because he said in Acts chapter 2, I want you to go and tarry in the upper room, and you're going to hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind that's going to come here. It's going to replace the priest's shofar. It's going to replace the covenant of Moses, and it's going to be a sign that the Holy Spirit of God is moving in the land. And from this point until the end of this week, I want you to listen for a sound. Listen for a sound. Be quiet in yourself. Quit limiting God in his ability. Trust and obey him. Come with your toughest challenge. Come with your Jericho and listen for the sound, because the sound of the rushing of the mighty wind of the Holy Spirit of God is going to run through this house all week, and there's going to be walls broken and lives changed, and it's not going to be the same ever again. This is the week of your Jericho. This meeting was planned before God created us. Dr. Minnie, would you come to the piano? This meeting was planned before you were born. You see, there's something, are you listening? Say amen.
Amen.
There's something called the omniscience of God. And that's something we can't understand. The omniscience of God is the all-knowingness of God. We can't comprehend that God knows everything forward, backwards. He knows time sideways, but he does. And he planned this week. Even if you're visiting, you're not here by accident. You're here by the very presence of God. If you're watching online, you're not here by accident. These men and women that are coming in to minister, they're not just coming because they're friends of ours and going to come in and do what they do. This is a planned event from God. He has placed us, and He's put us in the guard. He's put us carrying the ark. He's put us in the guard behind. He's put us involved in walking around the Jerichos in our life, and that's what this thing is about. This thing is about seeing sinners come to Jesus Christ and their lives change. This is people that are fighting battles in your life that seem to be impenetrable. You're fighting situations that are far bigger than you have the ability to do. All you're doing is qualifying yourself to come under the presence and the power of God and see God do the absolute in your life. Don't miss these services. Don't miss tonight. Don't miss this week. But this morning, right now, I'm going to tell you that this is the seventh day right now. And we are on the seventh lap around this house right now.